Dear Lord and Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that it's not been my words that are spoken. It should be your words, Lord, and that you come and impact people's hearts and move people, Lord. And just, Lord, that Ephesians 4, Lord, is opened up to people in a way that maybe they've not read it before. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
So we're looking at Ephesians 4 this morning. Actually, what's just been happening in the service helps me because it's very relevant to what we're talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about two or three things. It's a verse, a passage that looks at unity, unity in Christ, unity in the Spirit. And then we'll be looking at the gifting that people have and how to look and how to live a life that is worthy of your calling. So if we turn to the first slide, or second slide strictly, there's a passage on there. It's not the first part, but it's a part of it. So Ephesians 4, he talks about, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. That first of all says that everyone's received a calling. If you're a Christian and you live in Christ, you're in Christ, you've received a calling. You're not a Christian just to live and come and put yourself on a seat on the Sunday morning. Actually, you have a calling. You have someone to live for. You're living for God. This will be explained a bit further later. The passage goes on to explain a bit more about what it is to live a life worthy of your calling. The passage then goes on to talk about, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's the passage I put up on the PowerPoint. The word make every effort. In the Greek, it actually has no sense of failure. It's a word that means make every effort, strive. It's going to be hard work. You're going to have to work hard because we're not all the same. None of us are the same. We all find it difficult to get on with each other at times. If we didn't, we'd probably be in heaven already, to be honest. So it's an effort, but actually, we're all part of one body, one spirit, one church, under one head, Christ. So those people around you that you struggle to get on with, they're part of the same people, the same body, and the same Christ. And there isn't a chance of failure if you're saved. Doesn't mean it's not going to be easy. Don't know if I said that right. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that you have a certainty that you're going to succeed to maintain that unity of spirit. And actually, we're united around Christ, the head. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We wouldn't be able to unite around anything else. As I've said before, we are all so different. To try and unite around anything other than Christ would be, well, foolish. And the only way we're going to do it is by maintaining that bond of the Spirit. So yeah, each day we need to be looking at, to strive to live, maintaining the calling that we have, living in the Spirit each day. The next part of the passage goes on to talk about each one of us has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Each one of us has been given grace according to what we need to do. That's simply what that means. You've been given what you need to do the calling that you've been given. Two things that means. A, you have a calling, again. And B, it means that you've been given what you need to do it. God doesn't leave you in a place where you can't fulfill your calling. Which is why I said it's relevant earlier when Matt was talking about if you feel you've missed your destiny. No. You can still fulfill your destiny. You can still fulfill your calling that God has given to you in your life. You just have to turn to it. If we turn to the next slide. There we go. That's what I've been talking about. I should have turned over slightly sooner. If we look at verse 11, I've turned too far. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's talking about specifically gifted people in certain areas. So some are made to be prophets, some evangelists, some teachers. This isn't everybody. It's not an all-encompassing list. That isn't. You may have some of the gifts of that area. But actually these people here are sent to build up the church so that when we reach unity of faith. So we've got unity of the Spirit. That means we're all united in the Spirit of God, being baptized and becoming part of God's family. But there's actually a unity of faith as well, which is different, simply. Otherwise, they wouldn't mention it in a different way. What it means is that we need to become a people that are unified in our faith in Jesus, in how much we believe in Jesus and believe and trust in Jesus. That's why it says, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. A long journey to being a mature. I don't think any of us will ever reach it while we're on this earth, fully anyway. But that's what we're striving for each day. And actually, we've got people in this church, people in every part of the church, the whole body of Christ, are there to help you reach that point. And obviously, it means you have to do some work yourself. You can't get off the hook. But there are specific people gifted in doing that. It then goes on to say, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It explains what I've been speaking about. The head is Christ. We are built up into that head. And actually, each part of the body does its work. We don't all have the same work to do. Some people are called overseas. Some people are called to a life of mission. Some people are called to sit in an office for 50 years and slog it out, giving glory to God where they're at. Your calling is where you are. Sometimes I think we have the impression that we look at people who go abroad and do all these amazing things and think that they're some sort of super Christian. No. They've been given grace according to their calling. And if you serve God in your place and how you have been called, you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. In fact, many people, these people that go abroad, they need you to be doing what you're doing so you can do. They can do their work. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's as simple. The passage then goes on to tell you exactly how we should live. Doesn't complete it, that'll be going on next week. I don't know who's preaching next week, but it carries on next week. It says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, people who aren't saved, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Their hearts are hardened, and they don't understand the truth. They can't see the truth. And because of this, they commit all kinds of sin. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught on him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. We are called out of that life by the truth of Jesus, by the truth of Jesus in our life, by what we have heard and what we know of the truth of the gospel. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made in the new attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness means set apart, for anyone that doesn't know. Set apart, set above, strictly. Living a holy life, set apart life, different to other people. That's what you're called to. In Jesus, you've been called to put away the stuff of the old life and live a new life. Because of the truth that you know and the work of the Spirit in you. And it comes by unity in the Spirit as part of the body of Christ. If we turn to the next slide. Here the passage goes on to tell you just some of the things that you need to put off and put on. So speak. Put off falsehood. Speak truthfully. Simple things. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. It's interesting, it doesn't tell you not to be angry. You are allowed to be angry. A righteous anger is a fine thing. An anger that when God is affronted or people are brought down, that is fine. But it does tell you to deal with it before sun goes down and not to hold on to that anger so that the devil gets a foothold in your life. It carries on, anyone who is stealing, do not steal. Do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Living is part of the body. In unity in the Spirit, building people up, not knocking them down. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do not offend the Holy Spirit. Seek to live for God, not for yourself. Don't keep trying to chase those things that are of the old life, because you aren't that person anymore. That life is dead. And if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you should be seeking the new life. Doesn't mean we succeed every time. It's an attitude of the heart that says, I'm seeking God, and I want to live in the unity of the Spirit of God. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The biggest sin of all time, rejection of God. If God can forgive the greatest sin of all time to all man that choose to follow him by the redeeming of the Spirit, power of the Spirit, we have no right to hold on to any affront that anyone does to us. Doesn't mean it's easy to forgive, but it means we should strive to be forgiving people, forgiving one another in the body, and forgiving others as well. So if we go on to the final slide, I don't think I've talked for too long. I love verse 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I put some points on there that say, I think they just highlight what this passage says. We are united under Christ in the unity of the Spirit, and we should be striving for unity in the faith. We've got to maintain that unity of the Spirit. Live your life to the glory of God. Put off the old things of the life and live for the new. Live for God in all things you do. And fulfill your calling, using your gifting and those around you by the power in you to glorify God and support the body. That's a bit of a mouthful. I didn't realize quite so much when I wrote it. What I mean is, live according to your calling. Use the gifting that God's given you for building up the church, for those around you to see God's way of life, so that people can see a difference in your life, and that you live to glorify God in all things. And you just live according to what He has called you to do. You don't strive for more, you don't strive for less. Actually, God's perfect calling is the one that you're doing. And that's it, really, for this passage. I could have gone into a lot more. I thought that was the important things this morning. Yeah. Let me pray to close. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you, who are God that's called each one of us. Lord, you haven't called us to be individuals without a body, Lord. You've called us to be part of a body, doing different things, but being unified under you as our head. Lord, we just pray that in all things that we are satisfied in our calling and living for you. And Lord, that we turn our lives to living in a holy way and put off the old things, but actually strive into the new way and into our calling, Father, you are calling us to. In Jesus' precious name, amen.